Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. And from every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes and open our ears. We want to see and to hear Christ tonight. We want to cherish anew his death. So use the Holy Spirit to exalt Christ to each one of us who are listening now. Glorify him and make us like him. Use me as your servant to feed your people, Lord. And so we pray this in the mighty, majestic, and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The glory of Christ shines brightly from the pages of Scripture. On Good Friday and Easter morning, we do what we should be doing every single Lord's Day, extolling the glory of Christ, even as it is seen in his bleak death and burial, and in his empty tomb and resurrection. If only for a few minutes, I want you to relish the sublime glory of Christ, because only he is worthy. So to consider the glory of Christ and the greatness of his earthly ministry, I want to take us to the heavenly throne room for these few minutes. We need more heavenly glory amidst the earthly gloom that surrounds us. When we pick up in Revelation 5, we are halfway through the Apostle John's description of this majestic throne room. He first sees one sitting on the throne, one who the four living creatures praise by singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And who the 24 elders praise, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." It is he who is seated on the throne who sends that strong angel seeking one worthy to open the seals on the scroll. And no creature is found worthy to do the will of God. So John begins to weep loudly. No creature is worthy. No prophet, no priest, no king, no apostle could ever be obedient enough or great enough to be worthy. Nobody could obey well enough to earn such favor. none are able, and none are worthy. And so John rightly weeps. And so should we, if none were worthy. If Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and Mary had told the end of the story in putting their Messiah's body in the cold tomb, then we should weep as well. If Good Friday were the end of the story, then all we could do is weep, because it would be no good day at all. But what then does John hear and see in the heavenly throne room that lifts his heart? First, he hears the comfort of one of the elders. Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. And so John opens his eyes to see this worthy champion. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is the Lamb of God, slain for the forgiveness of sins. Notice John does not look up to see a bloody slain heap, the lifeless corpse of the sacrifice. Instead, he sees that the Lamb has been previously slain. He lives, yet he bears the marks of his victorious, vicarious death. Thomas felt these marks. The holes in his hand, the holes in his feet, his pierced side, evidence forevermore that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is our Lord and our God. Thomas attests to this. The conquering lion is the slain lamb. Can you sense the glory in that? Can you savor that the glory of Christ is majestically mysterious? Here, two conjoined images tell you that Jesus is more than you can fathom, and yet the mystery of his being and his works is worth every second that you invest. He is wonderful, and he is worthy. Here is the lion lamb. Here is the strong, powerful, ruling lion, the promised king, the Root of David in all of his glory. And here is the seed with a bruised heel from serpent crushing. The slain lamb who was silent before his oppressors, who was executed with the wicked and buried in a rich man's tomb. Here is the long-promised one who would bear the sins of many by being numbered with the transgressors. He is high and lifted up and exalted, and he proves it to you by his humble, lowly lambness. As the living creatures and the elders sing in Revelation 5, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." He is the worthy lion because he is the slain lamb. In his humility, he marched to the executioner's cross. He who from the foundation of the world had all authority. When he was confronted by that mob in the garden, when he refused to call legion upon legion of angels to his defense, when he stayed the sword of God's end-time judgment in the face of his betrayer, he didn't do so because any man compelled him. Judas and his brute squad were lesser authorities and lesser powers. When the chief priests and the Sanhedrin charged Jesus with blasphemy, they did so as a lesser authority, because in their very presence was the eternal high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And when he stood before the Roman governor and was condemned, Pontius Pilate did so as a lesser authority. Because in his very presence was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so when the soldiers mocked him, beat him, and compelled him to bear the burden to Golgotha, they did so as lesser authorities. Nobody compelled Jesus outside the city to die. None had the power to make him act against his will. He did not die because they tried to kill him. He died because he submitted his perfect human life to the will of the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. He died, as Hebrews 12:2 puts it, for the joy that was set before him, enduring the cross, despising its shame, and so is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. As Jesus' revelation to John unfolds, we see that not only is the lion like a lamb, but that the lamb is like a lion. When the sixth seal is opened, the powerful of the earth scatter, fearing the judgment to come. And so in Revelation 6:16, they call to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." It's a gloriously chilling phrase, isn't it? The wrath of the Lamb. Or again in Revelation 17, when Babylon the Great and the beast attempt to defy God, verse 14 says, "They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those with him are called chosen and faithful." Chosen and faithful. Brothers and sisters redeemed by the blood. In our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a lion-like lamb and a lamb-like lion, and he is utterly glorious. Even while considering his lifeless body in the tomb, even while considering Jesus Christ, the eternal Son incarnate, executed in your place as the permanent propitiation for your sins, do not end the evening in mourning. Weep no more. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and Mary and the disciples had to end that Passover evening in sorrow. Christ's body was in the tomb. They never understood what he said would happen. And so all they could do was weep. But that tomb is empty. His body is not there. Death could not hold him. He rose in glory to resurrection life as the firstborn of many brothers, as the first fruits of new creation. He is not dead. No, he is quite alive. More alive than any of us are. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, the glorious lamb-like lion, ever worthy of our worship. As Revelation 5:12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Worthy is our Lamb. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are worthy to receive all power and all wealth and all wisdom and all might and all glory and all blessings. For you were slain, but you live forevermore. You are worthy of all of our love and all of our praise and all of our obedience. Remind us afresh of your glory in death and your glory in resurrection. Lift our hearts and minds to the throne room of heaven and comfort us with your glory and your worthiness. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.